Jesus stands trial before the Pharisees at the temple. Verse 14 seems to be that situation. Jesus finds the invalid who's been healed by him in the temple and converses with him. The Pharisees accuse Jesus of blasphemy to call himself the Son of God, for they understood that being the Son of God means that he is God. Just like you're the son of your father, you're a human being. And they understood that correctly, that if you called yourself the Son of God, that you were divine. It's the difference between calling ourselves sons of God and calling himself the Son of God. And also, not only did they accuse him of blasphemy, they accused him of a breach of the Sabbath day. So Jesus calls witnesses to himself. If you've noticed throughout this section that we're considering right now, we find the verb to testify, to bear witness, over and over again, as well as the noun testimony or witness. In this chapter, we find those terms more than any other chapter of the New Testament. So it really is a court setting. Jesus senses that they have basically arrested him. They are accusing him of blasphemy and a breach of the Sabbath day, and he's going to now call for witnesses. And you remember in the Old Testament, in the mouth of two or more witnesses, every word would be established. So he calls for, might we say, more witnesses to testify that he is deity and that he is righteous in healing an impotent, invalid man, and that he is essentially, therefore, the Lord of the Sabbath day. Jesus calls, if I may say so, two persons to the witness stand. He gives us, he also uses the witness of what we might say, scientific evidence, and even forensic evidence, forensic documentation as a witness to his deity and his power and authority to work such actions on the Sabbath day. Seven times in this chapter, we find the verb to bear witness. Four times, the noun witness or testimony. It's translated testimony in verse 34. The other three, the word is witness. Again, most this Greek verb noun will not be found any more times than what we find here in chapter 5 of John's Gospel. Jesus essentially is on trial in the temple. He gives certainly his personal witness, verse 31, but he says something very strange. And there's a couple of things that we need to consider kind of as disclaimers before we consider the subject that Jesus calls witnesses to his deity this morning. It says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, that's a difficult statement on the surface, because we believe that Jesus is true, that he speaks the truth, that his witness is true. So how do we reckon that with scriptures? And also the seeming contradiction, look at chapter 8 and verse 14. Chapter 8 and verse 14. He says, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. So it's a seeming contradiction. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But he says in chapter 8 and verse 14, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. So here would be another instance of the skeptics who say that the Bible is full of contradictions and it cannot be trusted. Well, what is the solution? There's no dilemma. But the solution is that Jesus is saying in chapter 5 that if I bear witness alone, that's the idea. In chapter 8, he's proving that he's not alone in his witness, though if he was bearing witness alone, that it would be true. He says, and yet I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, chapter 8 and verse 16, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of myself. So what he means in chapter 5 is not that when he says something alone that it's not true, but he's saying, if I only bore witness of myself, if I was alone in this witness, then according to the law, my witness could not be valid. There needs to be at least two witnesses. And so Jesus says, I have the witness of my Father. And that's certainly one of his witnesses, and so we'll consider that. The Bible is not contradictory in nature. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so really, the first witness is himself, because he has other witnesses to corroborate his truth, his testimony, his confessions. So he is bearing witness with other witnesses. And so his witness is true according to the law. But he is believable to us even if there weren't witnesses. He is believable. But he says, I am not alone. And so we find that Jesus Christ himself is a witness to his deity. Over and over again, he called himself the Son of God. Over and over again, he received the worship that only God should receive. People worshiped him. People bowed down and worshiped him and yielded their hearts to him. He never told someone to get up that he was just a man like Peter did and like the angel does in the book of Revelation. Human beings and angels refuse, that is, unfallen angels refuse the worship that belongs to God. But the Lord Jesus received that worship. The Lord Jesus confessed to be the Son of God. He confessed to be the Messiah. He confessed to be David's Lord. Jesus indeed is a witness that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. We can depend upon him. He's a valid witness. But he gives us at least four other witnesses, and we might even say five altogether before he leaves this earth, or before before he leaves the earth. He gives, secondly, a friendly evidence, if you will. A friend and popular preacher, an Old Testament prophet, someone who is a valid witness. He says in chapter 5 again, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness. There's that statement. And he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, that is his ultimate testimony, but John's testimony was valid. But these things I say that ye might be saved. John was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. So he indicates that John is his second witness, if you will, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we have life in his name. And he says to these Pharisees, obviously they accepted John on the surface because the Lord Jesus said, they only accepted John because the people had acclaimed him as an Old Testament prophet, because later, Jesus would say, John's ministry, was it of heaven or of earth? And they believed, you know, in their hearts, they understood John to be a popular preacher, and so on the surface they acknowledged that, but in their hearts they rejected John. Remember, they rejected his baptism, and he said, Jesus said, the harlots and the tax collectors go into the kingdom of God before you do. So maybe they accepted just the shining part of John's ministry, but not the burning part. Notice the inner and the outward. John was a burning and a shining light. Burning speaks about he was burning with devotion inside. Shining, that his gospel and his message and his testimony was shining on the outside. And so we find that though they may have accepted the outgoing ministry of John, you know, he was a popular preacher. People were flocking to him, and they had to show some kind of respect for John in that way. But they didn't respect why John was such a shining light. They didn't respect the devotion that he had toward Christ. When John said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Logos of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the light of the world. And they rejected that. But nonetheless, the Pharisees said, John's a valid witness. He's an Old Testament prophet. He's the messenger of Isaiah chapter 40. The people who are believers, the people who are respecting the scriptures, they are listening to his message. They are heeding what he is preaching. John is a valid witness. John has lived a righteous life. And so the Lord Jesus calls, and this is really condescension, is that he calls John to witness for him. And you remember in chapter 1, we have that same word, bear witness, I believe it's 5 times in chapter 1. Ye have sent, well, he says in chapter 30 or verse 33, you have sent to John and he has testified to the truth. Chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, John testifies that Jesus is the light and testifies that they should believe on him. Verse 15, he testifies as to the preexistence of Christ. He was before me. Verse 32, he testifies to be the Lamb of God and the Son of God in verse 34. So John testified that Jesus was the light, the Logos, and the Lamb. Jesus says, and John's testimony was given so that you might be saved. I desire to use John's testimony to save sinners, that you might be saved. And I accumulate, heap witnesses, so that you might be convinced that I am legitimate, that I am the Son of God. John is a star, but I am a son of righteousness that arises with healing in my wings. Believe this testimony. There are 2 testimonies. I testify. John testified. And by now John is in prison. And he's pining away in prison. That light is fading. The star is falling, as it were, from the sky. And now the Son of Righteousness arises. And Jesus is saying, believe in the testimony of John the Baptist. If you won't believe the first 2 testimonies, I give you another testimony. He says, and he hints on it at the beginning. He says, there is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Now, who is he referring to in verse 32? Verse 37, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. So the Lord Jesus says, as it were, the climax of the witnesses, he says, the Father witnesses of me. God witnesses of me. God, who you say you believe in, He witnesses of me. You haven't heard his voice, but John did. John heard him say that the one on whom the Holy Spirit falls, this is the Christ. And John also heard the voice of the Father when he baptized the Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then later on in John's Gospel, we're told that people heard a thunder, but it was God's voice saying, I have glorified my name through you, and I will glorify it again. And they would hear it again. The disciples would hear it in the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Four times the Father in a voice to his disciples would indicate that Jesus was the Son of God and that people must believe on him. So the Lord calls as a third witness a family member. He calls a friend. He gives a personal testimony. Now he calls a family member, his father. And he bears witness. Notice he calls it interestingly. He says in verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me. The word another, remember we've gone through this before. There are two words that are translated other or another. One is one another of a different kind. One is another of the same kind. Here's the another of the same kind. And later on it's referring to the Holy Spirit, another comforter. Now he says this another of the same kind, deity. He's actually saying, as I am God, so the Father is God. Rather than, and he says it this way too, that since as the Father is God, so am I. In a sense, he's saying, as I am God, so is the Father. We are equal. We can speak from both directions. There's another that beareth witness, another of the very same kind. I believe he's referring to the deity of the Godhead here when he says that his Father is another witness to his credibility and his viability. Remember, the Father told John that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit, chapter 1, verse 33. And again, Matthew 3:17, the voice from heaven. Matthew 17, this is my beloved Son. And John 12:28, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The Lord calls a family member to witness. And the Father says, yes, he is the Son. Yes, that what he did on the Sabbath day was my will. And he only does my will. He does exactly as I desire and exactly as I indicate to him. He does nothing apart from my pleasure and my direction. As Jesus heals on the Sabbath, so I heal on the Sabbath day. That works of mercy are appropriate, works of piety, works of necessity. And Jesus said, I work and my Father works. We work in tandem. So the Lord Jesus calls that third witness, a family member, to his deity. Folks, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. This is not just truth for Jews. And though it seems like I'm preaching to the choir, and yet so often we let truth age. We let truth fade in our memories, and it's not fresh to our souls that we have a Savior who's divine, a Savior who became man, a Savior who made atonement for our sins, a Savior who gives us eternal life. We've been talking about heaven in Sunday school and how precious that truth is, that we're not like animals. We're not going to just rot in the grave and our soul is going to be annihilated. That we're creatures who will live somewhere forever. And if we believe on him and rest in him, that we're not mistaken. What a tragedy to give our lives, to give our Sabbaths to one who isn't the Messiah, who isn't a Savior. But these witnesses mount up for us that we are not believing a lie, that we are not mistaken, that we are not fools, that we need to plead with people who reject the deity of the Son, who reject the distinction of the Son, who reject that He is in perfect harmony with the Father, that they will perish if they believe not that He is the Christ, that He is the Son of God. They will not have eternal life. This is not a question of either or. It's a question of this is it. This is the truth. This should stir our desire to witness to Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and atheists and works righteousness people who do not have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That we might give our lives in order to encourage one another to see the kingdom of God advance. You say scientific evidence? They would like to see scientific evidence. Jesus calls another witness to the stand, if you will. He says, verse 36, the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So Jesus calls upon His works. He calls upon, as it were, scientific evidence. And Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, there's no way that anyone could do what You have done, the mighty works, except God were with him. And Jesus says, I call upon My works thus far. I have turned water into wine. I have servants to indicate that six water pots, six jars of stone, over 100 gallons were turned from one substance to another. I have a royal person, one who is a reputable witness, who can say that from a distance I cured his son. And from what we can tell, the impotent man was the eighth miracle that Jesus performed. He had a draught of fish. The first draught of fish was his third miracle. The healing of the demoniac, the Capernaum demoniac, was the fourth. Peter's mother-in-law was the fifth. A leper, the sixth. The paralytic, the seventh. And the impotent man was the eighth. But Jesus, and yet, this was just a sampling, because Nicodemus talked about all these signs He'd already done in Jerusalem. No man can do all these miracles. I don't think he's just referring to a few, that we only have a sampling. As far as we know, we have about 35 miracles of Jesus Christ. He may have performed hundreds of miracles. The Lord just picked and chose different ones. 22 separate individuals, 2 couples, 10 lepers, 4,000 people at once, and you multiply women and children who saw the miracle of the loaves. You're talking 8,000 at once, 5,000 another time, or 10,000. The miracle of transubstantiation, the miracle of using fish, a coin in his mouth, calling schools of fish over to the boat, changing weather, walking on waves, all his knowledge miracles. Being able to tell that this woman had 5 husbands and the man that she was now seeing was not her husband. The Lord Jesus would call Malchus later to witness that he saw that he was going to bleed to death in a matter of moments, and the Lord Jesus takes his ear and he puts it back on his head. Oh, the Lord Jesus says, I have scientific evidence. Look and see this man. And perhaps the man was right there when Jesus was calling the witnesses. The works that I do, the Father, they bear witness of me. Look, this man was 38 years an invalid. Look at his ankles. Look at his legs. Look at the man. He's as if he's a teenager again. Will you believe the works? Those of us who are saved in this room this morning, we bear witness to the world that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He has turned our hearts. He has saved us from being rebels. He has changed us from sinners into saints. all the people would believe. Oh, that we would go again freshly, go home to our friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for us. Let it not just be just a past thing. Let us have it as a fresh realization to people that Jesus saved. People need to be saved. And you hear that song over and over, don't you? People need the Lord. People need the Lord, but they need witnesses. We got to bring them witness that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John's dead, but his witness lives on. Though he's dead, yet he speaks. We can bring the witness of Isaiah, the witness of Jeremiah, the witness of Moses. But we bring the witness of the Father who testifies that he is his Son. And Jesus' own testimony. We bring the witness of the works. That there were 500 brethren plus that saw that he was risen from the dead. Indeed, they destroyed the temple, but he raised it in 3 days. There's scientific evidence. People can see that the leper is cleansed. They can see that the impotent man can walk, that the blind can see, that the deaf can hear, that the dumb can speak, that the hungry went away satisfied. Jesus, may I say, calls the fifth witness, the forensic, the legal evidence. What does he say in chapter 30, or verse 39? Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify. They bear witness of me. And then he goes on to say, and what about Moses? You say you believe in Moses? You say you're children of Moses? You trust in him? He wrote of me. Verse 46. So he says, I give you forensic evidence. I give you ancient documents. I ask you to study these ancient documents. You look at these forensic cases. For instance, this man writes a letter in a diary of his wife that he kills. And in his diary, he tries to trace her handwriting to implicate her brother. But the forensic evidence indicates that the particular, I think it was an F, that's where he made his mistake. The F of his wife was different from his F. And every other piece of handwriting was seemingly exactly like his wife's, except the one. They looked at that forensic evidence, as it were, that of the handwriting that was different, and that was a key evidence to convict this man of the murder of his wife. The Lord Jesus says, I want you to search. You say you search the Scriptures. This can either be a command or an indicative. He could be saying, search the Scriptures, commanding, or you are searching the Scriptures. This is your practice. But have you noticed in these ancient documents that they testify about me? You're not yet 50 years old. Do you know Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. Will you not search the documents? Moses wrote about me. Genesis 3:15, I'm the seed of the woman. I was born of a virgin. I'm the ladder that Jacob dreamed about. I am deity and I am humanity. I span the gulf between heaven and earth. I am the Passover lamb. John said, I'm the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Lord said in Exodus 12, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He says that they're to take a Passover lamb. Numbers 24, I'm the star of Jacob. Deuteronomy 18, I'm that prophet that Moses said would come. I'm David's Lord, Psalm 110. I was born in Bethlehem. whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting, Micah 5. I'm the one who Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. I'm the son given and the child born of Isaiah 9. I'm the son of righteousness of Malachi 3. You have diligently studied the scriptures in order to possess, and you think by those scriptures you possess eternal life, but they testify about me and you reject me, so you do not have life in you. You refuse to come to me that you might have life. I give you legal evidence. I give you ancient documents, manuscripts that testify long before I came to earth that I am Christ, the Son of God, and that you must believe on me. Jesus gives evidence after evidence. What can they say? Not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. We must rethink this. Is this what they did? Lord, forgive us. John testifies of you. The Father testifies of you. Your works already testify of you. The Scriptures testify of you. And the one that should break the camel's back, as it were, the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that Romans 1 tells us that he indicated that he was the Son of God. He rose from the dead, and therefore, and he had many witnesses to this, many who could observe this with their eyes and feel with their hands and hear with their ears. And yet they rejected the clear witnesses. These are witnesses that we have a Savior who's the Son of God. Will you believe on him? You have to reject. You have to leap over the witnesses, as it were, to disbelieve the truth. His self-resurrection is the final. The sixth witness, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Romans 1:4, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. He's the Son. He's the judge. The Father will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, and he hath given assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead, Acts 17:28. And he's the Savior by his resurrection from the dead, 1 Peter 1:3. He has given us new birth unto a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And just like that last consideration of the beginning of chapter 5, Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Judge by the resurrection from the dead as an evidence of these three key, clear identifications of Jesus Christ. He is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. We need it in our hearts. Our sins often cloud our assurance. We have an evil one and multiple demons that attack us. And if they can attack us and cause us to have doubts of our assurance, how dare we ever seek to help others find assurance? That we spend so much of our time seeking assurance instead of being assured by these witnesses and going forth to witness for the Savior. Let these witnesses speak loud and clear to us that we have a Savior, the only Savior of the world, and that people need Him, and He's not going to use angels to reach them. He's going to use us as what? Seventh, witnesses. 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 He wants us to be witnesses that He is the Christ, the Son of God, that people might believe on Him. Seven witnesses. Seven witnesses. Let us bear witness to these truths. That our Savior is the Christ, the Son of God, and that people, by believing on Him, will have eternal life. Will you present yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I bear witness to this fact. and I give my life that I might be a testimony, both visually and verbally for you as you lead me. Lord, forgive me where I have held my light under a bushel or under a table. I want to be used of you in whatever way you see fit.